Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture takes place in the upper room after Jesus and the 12 disciples share their last meal together. In his sermon that followed the meal, Jesus predicted his betrayal and his death on the cross. But this sermon was to comfort the apostles. In it, he issues his last commandment to them, to be unified in love, for they would have to face a world that doesn't understand them and doesn't love them. He ends the sermon by praying for the apostles, and then he prays for all the disciples that will follow. Please listen to your personal message as I read John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command. Love each other. I believe God blesses the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. It's going to be a good day. I remember to put the scripture up. If you were here last week, I forgot. In honor of Mother's Day and with no political agenda, with the recent opening of the new Bush Presidential Library, where all the living presidents, five of them, which is pretty amazing, gathered for the dedication, I want to tell you a true story about a mom and a president's son. In a recent story in the Washington Times, First Lady Laura Bush recalled a visit with her husband to the home of his parents, the former president and Mrs. Bush. According to Laura Bush, on the first visit, her husband, the most powerful man on earth, woke up at 6 a.m. his usual time and went downstairs to get a cup of coffee at the home. As he sat on the sofa, he put his feet up on the coffee table. All of a sudden, his mother yelled out, "Put your feet down." George Sr. was sitting there. His father said, "For goodness sake, Barbara, he's the President of the United States of America." And Barbara said, "I don't care. I don't want his feet on my table." The president promptly did what he was told. And Mrs. Bush observed in this Washington Times article, "Even presidents of the United States have to listen to their mothers." Amen. It was almost Mother's Day. And maybe still hadn't found a card. She had a hard time finding the appropriate card. Some of you have been through this. And she never really had a close relationship with her mother. Maybe shared her dilemma with a friend at work, and a friend told her it was only natural to have mixed emotions with people, especially family that you're very close to, because we have such high expectations of our mothers that they're bound to let us down sometimes. Mavis merely snorted at Dad and said her mother let her down all the time. I said, whenever I'm having a problem, Jenna said to Fran, I asked God to help. So that's what Mavis did. She said, help me find a card. Show me the card, the right card that I need. There were only about 30 Mother's Day cards left when she returned to the store. She picked up a card with great anticipation. Did not God lead her to just the right card? She read the gold print on the cover and it said, to my daughter on Mother's Day. She said, that's not right. I'm looking for a card for my mother, not for a daughter. But then she pictured her mother standing at a card rack trying to find a card to send to her. And she remembered all the birthday cards that the mother had picked out and sent to her that said, to my wonderful daughter. Surely she wasn't as wonderful as those cards had suggested. And suddenly the thought dawned on Mavis. She had prayed that God would send her to find just the right card. Maybe God was saying something to her. And Mavis put that card back and went through the rack and found a blank card with a bouquet of flowers on the front. She opened it up, and inside she wrote a simple message from her heart. To my mother on Mother's Day, thank you for being you, with love from your imperfect daughter. Jesus told his followers, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. What better words could we read on Mother's Day than to have something about love? Jesus' words are the model for all of us, for mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, as well as children and siblings and friends. Because God loves us, we ought to love one another. Because He forgives us, we forgive one another. At the center of the gospel is the self-giving love of God, but not something always easy for us to do. Notice from our text the link between love and happiness. Jesus says to his disciples, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be complete. Notice that love is essential to joy. If you don't have love in your life, you're ultimately not going to have joy in life. You'll have a superficial joy, maybe the things that you purchase might bring you in life, but it will not be real joy and real eternal happiness. In Charles Schulz Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown and Lucy are discussing the meaning of existence. He says, why do you think we're put here on earth, Charlie Brown? Of course, Lucy asked that. And he says, to make others happy. Lucy's not pleased with this answer, of course. She doesn't like that, so she says, I don't think I'm making anyone very happy. Of course, nobody's making me happy either. Lucy then becomes quite indignant and roars out, somebody's not doing his job. Ernest Hemingway desperately wanted to be happy. But he wanted to do it on his own terms. After reading Hemingway's first book of stories, D.L. Lawrence said that the moral could be characterized like this. Avoid one thing only, getting connected to anyone. That's sad. Hemingway once fired a babysitter because she said the children were getting too close to the babysitter. Hemingway said that you could only love a person so much that then you had to stop or you would get hurt. C.S. Lewis pretty much had the same attitude until he met the love of his life, joy. Lewis said, later wrote, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it safe in the casket or the coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. Your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell itself. In his own eloquent way, Lewis is saying to us that where there is no love, there is no happiness. Jesus says to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might be complete." But Christ had another point to make about love. Love requires sacrifice. He explained it like this: "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Princess Alice was the second daughter of Queen Victoria, and she had a 4-year-old son who she loved very, very much. When he contracted the disease known as black diphtheria, Alice was devastated. She was not a very healthy person herself, and she knew that the disease was deadly. The nurses continually warned her to stay away from her son, or she could contract this disease and she could die herself. One day, as Princess Alice stood in the far corner of her son's room, she heard her son whisper to the nurse, "Why doesn't my mother come kiss me anymore?" That was more than Alice could bear. More than a mother could bear. Tears streamed down her face. She ran over to her son, grabbed him and picked him up in her arms and began to kiss him all over. Tragically, this turned out to be the kiss of death. 2 weeks later, both mother and child passed away. All of you who are parents can understand why Princess Alice did what she did. When you love someone so much, no sacrifice is too great. Throughout history, the one driving force that has moved humanity has been the willingness of parents to make almost any sacrifice to ensure that their children would have a better life. But today, a dramatic change is taking place in our society. Recent studies show that a sizable portion of parents put their own happiness way, way ahead of their children. Mothers hooked on drugs who ignore their little ones completely. Fathers who go off in search of their own dreams, leaving their families behind to fend for themselves. Mothers and fathers throwing away their future along with their family's livelihood and everything that they own, sitting at the tables of casinos, gambling away their lives. No wonder so many families are in crises today. How can we, as followers of Christ, ignore the model that the gospel has provided for us, that God so loved the world that He gave, that He sacrificed for us? A society in which everyone is looking out for number one is a society that is in trouble. Remember, love is the very essence of our faith. In verse 17, it says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Paul would later write, "Though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing." That pretty well sums up the matter. If we cannot love, our faith is really a sham. And how do we draw other people to Jesus Christ if we are not showing love? That is the main essence. That is what people will look for from us. Early one Saturday morning on the way to a downtown office, Deborah saw a crowd of onlookers surrounding a police officer, wounded on the street. As he watched the ambulance carry him away, someone told her what had happened. A street person had shot him. She was very upset by what had happened. She later found out that he had died, and she could not even look a street person in the eyes. She began to be filled with hate for everyone that was on the streets. As a Christian, Deborah recognized that she would have to somehow reconcile her anger, because she could not live with this kind of hate in her heart. She felt the best way to do it would be to work for and with the very people that she was angry at. That's not an easy thing to do. So the next week, she went with her church and she volunteered at a downtown soup kitchen. People who had no homes, no food, no money. And she says, as I looked into the grateful eyes of the hungry recipients, my anger began to melt away. And I began to realize that each of these persons is a beloved child of God, just as I am. When she loved them unconditionally, as Jesus has loved us unconditionally, she was able to let go of her anger. You know, love is the very essence of Christian faith. And we're not able to love, then there's something very superficial about our faith. We spoke this morning about a young woman searching for a Mother's Day card who had a very imperfect mother. In doing so, she was reminded that she was also an imperfect daughter. Sometimes the most difficult people to forgive are those closest to us. I think our family is the hardest to forgive because they can hurt us the most. But there's Christ hanging on the cross. And who did he die for but imperfect people like you and like me? How tragic if we cannot forgive and accept those who love us, even as Christ has forgiven and accepted us. And I'm praying for my own self right now because I'm having a hard time forgiving someone right now in my own life. And no, they're not a member of this congregation. They're a member of my own family. So this is coming from a personal place for me. It's not really about you. Love and happiness are inseparable. Love requires sacrifice. Therefore, we must sacrifice in order to be happy. Love does not come easy in an imperfect world, but love is the central commandment that Christ gives to those who would be his disciples. May God bless you, and a happy, happy Mother's Day to all of you. God bless you. Amen.